you to hell and back.
Couldn't not go.
Sure, couldn't not go. Couldn't leave an old friend. Drag your pregnant wife up mountains in the rain, facing a shitty death in the dirt. You can do that, Jack Lauren, can't you?
The rain persisted all through the afternoon, turning hollows into puddles, puddles into pools, the beds of dry creeks into streams, streams into frothing torrents of muddy water that tore at the roots of trees and filled with plants and the corpses of small, helpless creatures. Jack managed to calm his wife, hugging her close as they all cowered in a makeshift shelter of broken branches. Mildred dozed off, head against Dean's shoulder. The boy had hardly spoken since hearing the news of his father's disappearance, and seemed to be slipping away into a dark world of his own. His face remained blank, his eyes like stone. JB had gone out before evening completely closed off the day's light and scouted along the trail they'd been trying to follow, which was leading them deep into a maze of arroyos and ravines. But the weather had defeated him. The rain battered down in a solid wall. JB remembered one of the trader's stories. He'd never really believed it, but now it suddenly seemed to be entirely possible. Jimmy McCluskey had been a top gunner on War Wag 2. Everyone suspected him of having a mainline jolt habit, but he was always too clever to get caught at it. Then he started showing the symptoms of one of the horrific diseases that still clung to a malevolent life in dark corners of Deathlands. This one was known as trips. According to the trader's version of McCluskey's ending, the man had realized that all that remained of his life would be short, brutish, and painful. It had been raining like it was now. The way it was told, McCluskey had gone out alone at night and stood in the open, head back, face turned to the dark heavens, his mouth gaping wide, his hands down at his sides, and drowned. As JB picked his way through the dripping, dank wilderness, he thought about the story. At times, it almost seemed like the air around him was too saturated with water for a man to be able to breathe. When he got back, he woke Mildred.
Anything?
No. Any tracks there might have been are long gone now.
So?
Sleep. Wake up and it'll have stopped raining. And we go on deeper until we find them.
Then we rescue them and go home safe and live happily ever after.
Yeah, something like that.
The atmosphere in the Stickies' camp was thoroughly miserable. Although nobody actually came and told the prisoners, they saw the corpse of the young man that Charlie had maimed being carried away in a crude litter, uncovered rain pattering down into his staring eyes.
Guess he must have bled to death.
Got what you wanted, Harold.
The day dragged on in a strange, desultory sort of way. There was a ceaseless rain skirling around the canyon, making it hard to see more than 50 yards in any direction. It was coming off the cliff above the ancient dwellings in a solid sheet of dull silver, pouring down into the river that was widening among the trees. Charlie kept away from the prisoners. Food was brought in what was probably the middle of the day. It was the same sort of hot spiced stew.
You'll get used to it, Ryan.
That's all there is? Well, I guess I've eaten a lot less and a whole lot worse.
Sure. The finest stew and the finest sticky camp in all Deathlands.
This place serves beans well done, beans medium rare, beans over easy, beans on the side, beans salad, chicken fried beans, and refried beans. Did I leave anything out?
Yeah, just plain beans.
Ryan tried to talk to the other captives, weighing them up, trying to figure how they might react when the firing pin came down. Danny, despite his pain, was more than ready to do what he could, little though it was. There was no doubt about Helga. Just put a sawed-off in her hands and a box of 12-gauge shells, and she'd take out an army of stickies.
Heard trouble was round, but I didn't figure it for stickies. Neighbor to the west, away from Jack and Christina's spread, lost cattle and a couple of his men to a sickness. Wondered if there was lepers traveling through.
Lepers? Fireblast. I haven't heard of them since I was in my teens. I thought they died off.
Nope. We get all sorts of crazies. That's right. Isn't it, Preacher Man? Some real crazies.
The preacher turned away from her, presenting his back in its tight broadcloth suit. Helga grinned at Ryan, making a jerk-off movement with her right hand. He grinned right back at her. The preacher and Harold were no-hopers in any plan, not even of any potential use as a diversion. Ryan wondered if killing them would be a good or a bad move, then decided to let that lie a while. They had at least two more days, according to Charlie. Dorema Leonard slept most of the time, occasionally muttering under her breath in what sounded to Ryan like some sort of a Mex dialect. If it came to placing a narrow-bladed dagger in a man's groin while he was dreaming, then Ryan guessed the waif-like woman would be a prime choice. But she was so physically tiny and frail that her value in a knockdown drag-out fight was going to be a touch limited. And it didn't look as though she had the stamina to travel any distance cross-country if they made a break. Red and his brother were prime candidates to enlist in any escape plan. But when Ryan managed to have a few private moments with each of the trappers, he found he hadn't been entirely right. Bob Leonard shook his scarred head at Ryan's overture.
Nope. Couldn't leave my wife. Dorena'd likely die if I was to go. We lost her little ones. She was wed before.
How old is she?
Near 20, she figures. Don't look it, does she?
No.
She was married to a lawman up in Kansas. July Randall. He was took by a breed in a knife fight. He got blindsided in the dark.
No more children?
Sure. One was dead birth. Other was 4, and the breed cut off its head.
That does beat all, Bob. And I understand about Dorena. Not wanting to try anything without her.
Thanks, Ryan. Good on you.
There was also an unexpected problem with Red Folsom. As soon as Ryan started to talk, very casually, about what their hopes might be of escaping, the tough redhead grabbed him by the arm, jerking on the links of the cuffs that joined him to Harold.
Get away from me, Harold. Far as you can.
Why are you picking on me, Red?
Because you're the one that pissed me off, fat boy.
The one-time candy seller shuffled away until his chained arm was out straight, nearly 4 feet along the ledge from Folsom.
Trust him as far as I can piss into a hurricane, Ryan. Get me?
Sure. Think they'd betray us to Charlie?
Two barren screw virgins?
If he did, Charlie'd chill him just the same. Wouldn't make any difference.
You know it. I know it. But does Harold know it?
Ryan nodded. He'd already picked Lord as one of the two possible traitors. The very Reverend Joe Bob Jarman was the other.
What is it you don't want him to hear, Red?
We know that the Strawhead Sticky Bastard's got plans to send us off to buy the farm with a big, bright bang. Couple of days. Got his men watching us.
So? Sooner we get a plan worked out, the better it is.
Sorry, Ryan. I'm not much of a man for other folks' plans. Just take you a good long look at the others. You might be fine, and your woman seems like she'd swim most rivers and climb most mountains. But Danny's lost. Abe's old, and his breath's not good. Helga might not go without Danny. My partner won't move unless Dorena goes too. Minister and Fat Boy are out. Never was good at numbering, but it seems to me that if you take 9 away from 10, you get 1. Comes down to me.
Ryan wasn't surprised, nor could he honestly pick many holes in Folsom's thinking. A man alone would often have the edge on a group.
Sorry to hear that.
Way it is.
Sure. Figured we might get our blasters back and do some damage. That way we might, and only might, have a chance of getting the others sprung.
I hear what you say, Ryan.
You got yourself a plan?
I've known Bob Leonard there for around 7 years. Spent some hard winters and harder times with him. I haven't told him what I intend, Ryan.
And that was the end of the conversation between them. Charlie padded over near late afternoon, the Uzi kept dry under a long slicker. He was bareheaded, the water flattening his hair to his scalp.
Had a good day, pilgrims?
See this finger? Stick it in your ass, freak!
I'm going to have to think of something special in the way of lonely, humiliating, agonizing deaths for you, lady.
Most of the cooking fires had been extinguished by the torrential rain, but several of the Anasazi dwellings now had the scent of cooking drifting from their openings.
Going to be a hard night. Those kivas are all around 3 feet deep in water. Let's see how you are floating off to sleep.
He walked away, shoulders shaking with merriment at his own joke. Danny shifted, trying to get more comfortable.
Still ain't used to a fucking sticky with a sense of humor.
By the time the light began to fade the gloom of late afternoon to the darkness of early evening, everyone was utterly miserable. Though the massive cliff gave them shelter,